Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Like a cross. Welcome to VFN Radio Extra Hour. Joining me, of course, is Pat and John. We were just talking about, if you missed it, about Benghazi, but we're actually soaking on and talking about getting and remembering 9/11.
Yes.
9/11, 11 years. We're remembering 9/11. And
12 years.
12 years, I meant. And in the context that we're just talking about, isn't it interesting that during President Bill Clinton's presidency, that they tried to take the America's financial institution down from the foundation of it, the Twin Towers, by trying to blow a bomb up in the basement. And so they figure out you can't take America's financial empire down from the ground up. So let's fly planes into the top of the same buildings we try to blow up in the bottom. And they were able to take down America's financial district. The Twin Towers that represented the, you know, stock exchanges and all the things that was going on around there. It's not the New York Stock Exchange, but that's where a lot of the traders' offices were.
Oh, yeah. Kenneth Fitzgerald, all those
guys. Yeah, and money all around, coming in and out. And they were able to take it down from the top. And it's almost, you know, you ask Jesus, you know, did these people die in the tower because they were bad, because they mixed their blood, they did whatever? And Jesus said to them, because there was towers that fell during the days of Jesus' ministry here on earth. And so they're talking to him about these towers that fell. And he goes, listen, unless you repent, unless you repent, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You're going to hell.
Right.
And it was like those towers, Jesus was telling them, that was a sign to them.
That's right.
And we speak to a God, you know, we think we're so smart now. Which means the smarter you think you are, the dumber you really are. But, I mean, this God we serve, this is what he tells Ezekiel. Ezekiel, pick up a stick. Pick up a stick. And write Judah on the stick. Okay, great. Good, 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 good. Okay, pick up another stick. You know, write Ephraim. You know, write Israel on that stick. Okay, great. Good, good, good. Can I put the two sticks together? And what God was saying, he was saying, listen, though that the kingdom of Israel has split, it's coming back together again. And today we're thinking like, that couldn't be God. I meant a crescent moon and a star in the sky. You know, and this is a God that will, they'll take an arrow and say, beat it on the ground as many times as I tell you to beat it on the ground.
That's right.
You got to remember, he created everything.
Right.
And when we see during President Bill Clinton's administration, when he was president, when the enemy came to attack America and they tried to blow up, tried to do the same thing that happened in 9/11. They tried to do it during his administration and they blew a bomb up with a van or whatever in the garage underneath the Twin Towers, and they weren't successful at it, but it affected it. But they tried to take it from the bottom up. And for a lot of, that's what's been happening. The enemy's been working really hard probably since the 50s. Since Woodrow. since World War I, to take this country down from the bottom up. But what was discovered on 9/11, 12 years ago, is that you can take the financial district down from the head down.
Yeah.
Because it's peculiar. I mean, the fact that that thing would go down like the walls of Jericho straight down. I mean, two towers straight down. I mean, it's like, that's a sign. I mean, just like John was talking about in the first hour, you got to understand how tall this is. These things were so tall.
When you're walking down to the base of it, you literally have to put one of your hands on the shoulder of someone to steady yourself.
To look up.
To lean all the way back to really look up to see the depth of how tall this
is. At the same time, you have to have faith it's not going to fall on you because it looks like it's bending over you. It's so tall because it's swaying. And they took it down with two planes.
Yeah.
With two planes. And it's like that happened because the veil, the hand of protection of the Lord was lifted for a moment. That was a moment. And the church was stirred in America, and the church, they say that the gatherings just increased, and people were just, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And then once things settled a little bit, and it didn't take long, maybe a few months, everybody went right back to where they were that brought us to that point again. And now it's just like we got Flight 93, as we're talking about, everywhere now.
It's only been 12 years. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
And how quick Americans forget.
Well, not only is it quicker did America go back, but it went back like 7 times deeper.
Yes.
You know, where Jesus says you get delivered from a spirit. Now, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, this is how it works. Yeah, a man has a demon, has a demonic activity in his life. And this demon comes out of a man, and he gets delivered because he says, you set the captive free, and you drive out demons in my name. And this demon goes out and begins to look around, trying to find another inhabitation, another place to be able to live. Somebody else that has open houses, empty houses and open doors. Somebody else has got sin in their life. It wants to, it'll inhabit that person. And we have to understand that Satan has no authority here on earth unless we give it to him. Right. We have to participate with second heaven, Ephesians chapter 6, for it to take place. And believe me, there's enough participants. And but then this demon, if you would, goes out and thinks. It begins to plan. It begins to strategize. It says, I cannot find a place. It's just a dry land. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I mean, this is basically what Jesus is saying. I'm going to go back to America. I'm going to go back to the very place that I was at. But this time, I'm going to get 7 demons worse than myself to make sure I don't get thrown out again. And it's like, America went, it was like, yeah, we were bad, but we weren't this bad. This is 7 times bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, it went away because the church came back to God momentarily. And it's like, God, it was a reprieve, but we went right back into darkness. And so all of a sudden, the thing that left America thought to itself, I need to have a place to dwell. I need to have a place to dwell. So it comes back and says, you know what? They went back in their sin. I can actually use them. I can dwell with them now. I don't want to be thrown out like it happened then. That was so easy. You know, a couple planes hit some things. Next thing you know, they were repenting and I was thrown out of them. But then they thought to themselves, they're back in darkness again. And who would ever thunk that 7 demons worse than what we had before 9/11 now? We are in a place now where we're embracing an anti-Jesus Christ religion, Islam. We are bringing every form of sexuality to the peak and making it normal. We are upside down in our doctrine. We're not even reading the Word of God. It's like, oh my goodness, the borders are being infiltrated from, forget about 2 planes and somebody hijacking planes. We got people pouring on our borders. You know, we were just meeting just recently with somebody that's connected with the Homeland Security, and they're saying that it itself is against America. And they're trying to actually decide whether they want to stay in it or be forced out of it because it's against what it was, and it's turning militant.
Yeah.
Is what that quote was. Well, now, I don't know personally any information about that myself, but they do, it is reported that they purchased up, you know, 1 billion bullets and stuff like that. You would think Homeland Security, I guess somebody's going to try to invade us and they're going to keep them back or something, but there's laws that says, you know, what you can do and not do.
Well, who would have thought that we have an administration backing Al-Qaeda in Syria? It's like, what? How did this happen 12 years later?
You bring me back to Benghazi because the reason why they're reportedly, the reason why they're making everybody not say anything and they polygraph them, that the people that witnessed what took place, who could come on CNN and go, listen, I was there. This is what happened. This is what we were doing. It's because reportedly, this is what they would say, because we were arming Al-Qaeda in Syria. We were sending guns through Turkey to arm Al-Qaeda to fight King Assad, to set this day up where Putin would come in, rescue the day, and fulfill Ezekiel 34 and 36. You know? Instead, they just go, don't tell anybody anything.
Wow.
Right. because you have Gog and Magog, who now is partnering with Persia, which is 99.9% Muslim. And we're going to talk more about this week, hopefully, and just begin. I got some good news for you. God's about to deal with this cantankerous thing towards Israel. And it was like, oh my goodness, the whole world was set up to shift where all of a sudden Vladimir translate this to Vladimir and nothing happens by mistake.
My goodness.
The mic was not accidentally left on. And that sent the message to the world. And now today, and when you think about it too, it's like, how did Snowden end up in Russia now? How did all of our secrets end up in Russia now? And you know, when a nation puts pressure on you that's as big as we are, they can herd you like cattle, you know, if you're running for your life, and end up exactly where, because when he was going to fly, reportedly, when he was going to fly down to whatever Central America or whatever is going to take him from China.
It was Venezuela.
Venezuela. I think it was Cuba that was told, don't you dare let him have asylum here, the plane land here. It's one of the countries did. We told them that. Which means he ended up in Russia because we forced that hand somehow by what we did, knowingly or unknowingly. And it's like, oh my goodness, did we just give all of our secrets to Vladimir? Did we just give over the Middle East to Vladimir? Did we just give over all the chemical weapons to Vladimir? Did we just come in last at the G20 summit, trailing behind all the nations, so far behind that every nation came, and all of a sudden, here we are. Did we bow down to the king of Saudi Arabia? Are we shifting as we know it as a nation? Is the 5% of the world's population being humbled? Did we take on seven demons worse than ourselves? But listen, why are we trying to arm Al-Qaeda, reportedly, in Syria? And why are we trying to take out King Assad when we're calling it a civil war? Is it a civil war if we're the ones that armed the militant? And then if you find out the connection, you know, reportedly the connection is, allegedly, is that the Hamas and Al-Qaeda is a militant arm of Iran, which has been harbored in Lebanon for years and harbored in, it's like, and we did not respond to the Green Party in Iran. I'm giving you a biblical perspective. We're remembering, how did we get here? And it's like, I was like, every 12 months, are we just going to go deeper in darkness? I mean, are we not going to repent? This is the real interesting part here. It's how merciful. I mean, God's just sending us warnings. These are harbingers, letting us know this is the direction. This is the direction. You can turn back to one nation under God.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back. I mean, you look, he did it with Israel for years and years and years and years and years and years, and years before they went under a king. And he still does it today, and he's doing that to us in America, and we still can turn back toward the original intent. But why in the world would the Secretary of State be saying openly, that now she's no longer a former Secretary of State, supporting President Obama in the bombing Syria when 9% taken out Assad? Because that was a plan of the President, Secretary Kerry, it looks like, allegedly. It was a plan of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, allegedly. And it began with Ambassador Stevens in Libya, allegedly. And it all went bad, or all went according to plan.
Right.
And as the arms transferred up, and it was Turkish ships that came and pushed against Israel, remember? Mm-hmm. And it caused that, and all of a sudden, when you hear Secretary Hillary Clinton say that we came, we saw, he's dead. It's like, oh my goodness.
Interesting how when she was scheduled to testify before Congress, she was ill. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the most important time for you to be able to report to what has happened. And then almost, it was a transition there when Secretary of State John Kerry took over, It's just kind of just went out, and here comes a new transition in. There's still over a year has been no accountability for what's taking place.
So you think about this. This is what she said. This is when she went to Libya when they killed Gaddafi.
Yes, we came. We saw. He died. Yes, we came. We saw. He died.
And I really believe, and I don't, I really believe based on the wisdom of what's going on and what the Word of God says about Syria, that she wants to come into Syria and say, we came where Assad was. We saw Assad, and he died. Because they're shifting things in the Middle East. They're shifting things in the Middle East. Al Jazeera is a broadcasting network that they got their access from the former vice president of the United States, who was the vice president for Bill Clinton, is based in Qatar. We're talking about just God's perspective here. So the vice president of Bill Clinton developed a network called Link
Current TV.
Current TV, sold it to Al Jazeera's, a Muslim nation, who is ran
by oil producing Muslim nation.
We're getting there. And with it. Now, and it's ran by the government, so it's ran by Islam. Hillary Clinton says Al Jazeera is just one of the greatest networks around. I'm kind of paraphrasing it, that they really report the truth. So she's talking positively about Qatar, that her vice president, well, her husband's vice president had, that she's running for office. We came, we saw, he's dead. Now they want to take out, Syria. But you know what Qatar's wanting to do? They're wanting to run an oil pipeline all the way from Qatar all the way through Syria to be able to bring oil to Great Britain. And you have to go, this is nothing but the pipeline that they wouldn't do in America.
Yeah.
That they were against, they're actually trying to, this is all about eminent domain for the people who want to rule the world.
Mm.
They want to run a pipeline right smack dab through Syria, Al Jazeera's country, Qatar, to be able, because whoever provides oil to Great Britain will rule them. And there's a battle going on between, allegedly, Qatar and Russia and Iran wanting to do.
Oh, Russia needs that oil. They don't want to get out of there.
Right. And obviously the side has been picked. This is about an oil pipeline.
Wow.
Because the power is in the oil in regard to a dark biblical perspective. But for us, they say life is in the oil. But our God that we serve says life is in the blood.
Right.
And all this innocent bloodshed, all these kings taken out there to lay, you know, allegedly a gas pipeline to go through Assad's property, who, by the way, he said no. Because that's that one area that goes right up into to Great Britain, which is predominantly becoming a Muslim nation because of just migration alone. I mean, there is a strategy of a caliphate of the world. This is the goal of the caliphate, just so you know. The caliphate means the Quran is, instead of the constitution of whatever your country is and how you run your country, that you'll run it according to the Quran. It's a political structure. It's not just a religion. It's a political structure. It's a governmental structure. And so a caliphate would mean we're just going to run things according to the Quran. And there's a goal for a caliphate. That's their ultimate goal, you know, to possess the land, to convert the people, the ones that don't convert, pay a tax to this governmental thing called caliphate, or, you know, off with your head.
And it's happened before. I mean, in history, it's happened before. This is not far-fetched.
Yeah.
Where, you know, empires have been risen up, they've been taken out.
Yeah.
And persecuted the church. But this has happened already.
It's happened since the beginning of time.
Right. It is not.
You always wonder what it looked like before it happened, you know?
Mm.
And, but I got, but so in the context of this, So here, I'm saying this because former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who chose her replacement, which is Secretary of State John Kerry, who God spoke to me prophetically about before he actually went up and did what he did, and you can hear that under the prophecies on VFN Torch, she publicly told everyone, I am for taking Assad out. I back the current president. I back Secretary Kerry. And they realized, this is not political. This is just looking at wisdom, is that they realized they weren't going to win it. And they defaulted. But when they defaulted, they don't realize they went right into Ezekiel 34, 35, and 37, because Gog and Magog just embraced Persia, which is Iran, and all this Islam, all the mountains of Israel that's been taken over, the West Bank and all that's been taken over by Islam. And now everything's gathering together where God can show himself mighty. So I want to encourage you. We're going to be sharing some things that's going to pump you up about what's about to happen, because God's about to show himself mighty on the face of the earth. And despite what all, many are the plans in men's hearts, but it's God's plans that prevail. And no man's wisdom can come against what God is doing in the earth. And we just saw a big shifting take place for God to show himself mighty as Vladimir embraced Persia and embraced Arab, Islamic Muslims and said, I'll work with you.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's a question for you. How can you convince people that you really do care about them? According to counselor Joe Dallas, it takes more than words.
You know, it was hard to argue with Mother Teresa some 10, 11 years ago when she spoke at a Washington, D.C. prayer breakfast and stood up in front of God, Congress, Bill Clinton, and everybody and said, no nation that calls itself a Christian nation can continue murdering the unborn. If you do not want your children, stop killing them, give them to me. Think anybody argued? But why? What made Mother Teresa so impressive? She proved herself to be a woman who cared about humanity, and her care translated into practical, verifiable good deeds.
Show others you care with your words and your good deeds. You'll hear more encouragement from Joe Dallas today on our 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible, under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to vfntv.com, or you can go to facebook.com/vfntv. These are going to vfntv and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now,
1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective of the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me, of course, is Pat and John. We were just focusing on 9/11, remembering 9/11.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that came out of this tragedy is, and we're speaking about the attack on 9/11 in New York City World Trade Center, is in the amongst all the debris, amongst all of the stuff that just... buildings and, you know, fuel and just bodies. They had to start digging through this, you know, building, these crushed buildings to find folks. And
right.
It was horrific. I mean, how many floors?
I don't even know. But, tall.
Hmm.
And as one of the men described, and hopefully we'll get a chance to play this video for you, of a photographer for the Daily News who... has given a first count, you know, of what happened, what he saw. He said, listen, there was so, in the beginning, we couldn't even get cranes in there. They just went out there and started picking up with buckets, with hands. They started picking up stuff. He says, one of the guys found a cross. He found a cross, two beams that had fell together. It's 20 foot cross. That they found a guy by the name of Frank Celicia. And I want you to listen to this video as they talk about how they found this cross and what it meant. And it's an amazing story. A lot of people haven't heard about it, but it's called the Ground Zero Cross.
Because on that first day, you'll understand, no sweet sounds were heard anywhere around this place. Weeping. Great tears and gnashing of teeth, all those kinds of things you read about in the Bible, they were here on that particular day. And a construction man, crude and probably a little overweight, digging through dirt, all of a sudden finds this little tunnel, manages to poke his head into it and sees what we believe was a divine answer to prayers that we had been making throughout the time that we were at Ground Zero. Oh God, show us your place. Show us you're here. Show us how you're going to redeem this pit. And all of a sudden, he comes out of this little tunnel screaming, wait till you see what I found. And he pulls in ministers and officials, and there, this cross is fully extended, melted together with the intense heat. The two beams were never initially part of the same structure. Heat literally melted them together. And the piece of metal that's draped over was molten metal that had literally fallen over one of the arms. And when everybody saw this, the first thing we did was cry. And the second thing we went into worship. A marvelous moment of worship. Everything stops. Construction vehicles stopped. All of the digging out of dirt, we all stopped. We looked at the cross. We fell to our knees. And we thanked God. Because at that moment, it seemed as though God was just placing his arms around us and saying, this pit is mine. I will redeem this pit, and I will redeem the lives of the people who are in this pit. And the message that I received at that particular day was no matter how large the pit is, how deep or how wide or how long, whatever pit it is, or wherever we live, God is there to redeem it. If he did it here at Ground Zero with the World Trade Center, how much more can he do it for the world in our own pits that we carry around from day to day?
On September 13th, 2001, a construction worker named Frank Seletcher, about local 731 laborers, was going to World Trade Center 6, part of the recovery operation, hopefully looking for live bodies.
We searched the whole building. It took us the better part of the whole evening. We only came up with 3 bodies and no survivors.
While he was there, it did a double take, and he noticed right on the ground of World Trade Center 6, there was a structure that looked like a Christian cross.
And I directed the firefighter that was assisting me to take a look into the pit. In the middle stood the cross. It brought such overwhelming feelings to me that it dropped me to my knees in tears.
And that gave him great comfort and consolation, and he was telling people. And within 10 days later, he showed it to me. And I verified this is truly important, and this needs to be preserved and for the world to see. But on September 23rd, when I found out about the cross which Frank Seletcher founded, I made an immediate phone call to First Deputy Mayor Joseph Loda that we needed to preserve the cross and keep it ground zero. Within a few moments, I got a call personally from then Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. His father, absolutely. We will keep that cross at ground zero as a reminder of God's love for all of us.
Well, it brings back very, very strong memories of the days after September 11. The cross was discovered 2 days after. Father Jordan was able to focus on it and put it in a very important place, right where all of the recovery efforts were going on. And then he would say Mass there every Sunday, sometimes during the week, have other religious services there. Became like a rallying cry or a focal point for many people. I know there's all these issues about religion, but this was beyond religion. This was a significant part of what happened in the days after September 11th that kept a lot of people going.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is beyond belief. The World Trade Center buildings are gone. They are ashes.
This is how we found it, September 13th, 2001. This time we see it. This will be the last day it'll be outside. It's been outside for nearly 10 years.
This was the worst attack in the history of the United States. It was intended to break our spirit. And instead of it breaking our spirit, people emerged stronger from it. That cross symbolizes that. And I'm very glad that it's going to be part of the memorial.
Now the Ground Zero Cross, which has a 10-year journey, it finally has its resting place, its final home here in the museum.
Cross means to me healing, comfort. Something to look for as an avenue to comfort your sorrow, help revitalize you. Got to remember, on that day, our faith was crushed. And through that cross, it helps rebuild our faith. Because terrorism took down the towers, but faith rebuilds our hearts.
Wow. Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. So, in the midst of all this rubble, in the midst of all of this tragedy, they find this 20-foot cross. And it's like, my goodness, no matter what pit you may find yourself in, what pit America may find herself in, the only thing that we can come back with is not building stronger. It's not putting up more beams. It's coming back with God. It's coming back with turning our hearts to Jesus. And even today, this cross is going to be put in the museum, you know, for the World Trade Center. I mean, it's beautiful, and it just speaks volumes that, my goodness, God saves. God redeems.
I mean, think about it. The God that speaks by symbolism, who says, pick the sticks up and write, you know, I mean, look, that's a huge thing.
These are two beams that were not welded together that came together.
It's a sign. It's a sign that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, but you can only have a relationship with him at the cross of Christ. And it was interesting, too, like you said, that even that piece of metal that looked like the robe.
Yes.
Because the thing about it is that Jesus fixed the crucifix. He is not on it anymore.
Right.
He is not on it anymore. That was a moment in time when he was on it, But then once he had actually given up and he died on the cross, he's given up his spirit, died on the cross, they took his body and they laid him in the grave. He's not on the cross anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see the cross, he's letting you know that 3 days after that cross, I raised from the dead. And then I walked amongst the earth to let them know, hey, I'm alive. And then right in front of everybody's face, I just began to gradually go up. Say, get it? I'm going up. There you go. Here I'm going. There I'm going. I'm going. Here I go. There I go. And all of a sudden, he went so far, I couldn't see him. Then God sent angels down to say, why are you standing here looking up? You know, go. Just, what are you doing?
He's That's gonna, right.
The same Jesus that you see going up is going to come back again. That cross represents this. The cross that John's talking about here represents that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is sitting at the right hand of God, and he loves you, Americans. He loves you. And if you make him the Lord of your life, this tragedy, this the towers that fell, that you can have eternal life in him. That's what it means. That's what it represents. It doesn't represent just a tattoo on somebody's body or a chain around somebody's neck or...
It's not the cross. It's what's happened on the cross.
Yeah, it's like, yes, he fixed the crucifix. And understand this. Understand this. That sign to us is saying, listen, there's still hope if you turn to Christ. And of course, you know, what we talked about was that all of a sudden people began to come.
Mm-hmm.
They began to come. And what happened? Things got better. I mean, things began to just kind of gel. And we started kind of getting a clear vision. But it didn't take long at all. It wasn't even a full year before we went back. And it ended up, it's like, my goodness, 7 times worse. But guess what? The same God that delivered the man from the first demonic oppression.
That's right.
Can deliver legion with over 1,000 demons. So, you know, right. The thing is just like, get a clue. It's just going to get worse and worse outside of God. But in God, it just gets better.
Well, with darkness abounds, God's grace abounds even more. You know, and God is still there. He's present. And the Word of God tells us he's a present, ever-present help in the time of trouble. And if there's ever been a time that America's in trouble, my goodness, it's now.
Right.
But we can't look at people. We can't look at governments. We can't look, you know, at wealth to bring us back. The only thing that can bring us back, the only person, is Jesus Christ. Don't wait for others. You yourself make that decision. You yourself recognize, I need to come back. I am part of America. I am an American. But first, I need to settle my citizenship in heaven. I need to get right with God. And that can only happen when we kneel before the Lord and just accept him into our heart. It's the only way. So during this time of remembrance, during this time when we look back at 9/11 and look at this tragedy, so many emotions are stirred, so many thoughts come to mind. We mustn't forget what happened. It was only 12 years ago. And I remember, you know, exactly where I was standing. Yeah. What happened 12 years ago when I saw Tower 2 come crumbling down.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember picking up the phone and calling my dad, and he's crying on the other end of the phone because he could have been in that building.
Yeah,
he knew
that.
People. And I remember how... At that time, even though you still had the internet, but you didn't have mobile phones and all that type of access. There was phones, but it wasn't like internet. But yet on the radio, everyone still listened to the radio. You heard all these announcements that the churches in the community were gathering. They were getting ready to pray. And people were melted. People had compassion. Mm-hmm. There was a sense of unity in this country. There was a sense of, my goodness, you know, what has happened? And people were turning to God.
Right.
I mean, they were really... were questioning their lives.
Right.
But as we've been talking during this first and extra hour, that didn't last long.
Mm-mm.
It didn't last long.
And sad to say.
No, and you see what's happening now today, and it's like, really? Really? 7 times worse. And we are in a place right now in America where we need a third great awakening. We're in a place of America where it's time to turn our hearts back to him like never before.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation.
that stand with us prayerfully and financially. Let's just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Man, I love Eddie.
I do too, man.
That's so cool. He's just ragging you guys on these Saints.
Yeah.
I'm just
ruthless,
feeling
ruthless.
I'm feeling like Romanized. You know what I'm saying?
A Romanized.
Romanized.
You know? Aroma?
No, Romanized.
Oh, you know,
do
Romo.
Tell. Do tell. Help
yeah,
us
Tony
out.
Romanized.
Oh, really? Explain.
I'm just feeling like the Oh, come on. I mean, think
no,
about
no,
it.
Please tell us. Please well, elaborate.
You know, I'm looking at Tony right here, Tony Romo. The Dallas Cowboys is the quarterback right there. And
is he?
Yeah, he's 6'2", 230 pounds. He's from Eastern. He went to Eastern Illinois University. I mean, it's just got just a lot of good stats right here. And I think last time the Saints were in the oh, look at that. Right.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm just
on.
Trying to understand.
Wow.
That, remember what happened?
Wow.
That was a long bus ride back to New Orleans. It was a long bus ride.
I don't remember. What happened?
Well, remind me to tell you about Drew Brees is getting traded to the Cowboys. But
oh,
ain't never going to happen.
Watch it. How much did you say? Well, I'll be there in a minute.
I'm gonna.
Is the football leather? Okay, I'll be there. But from what I understand, based on Pat's emotions, the Saints didn't win that game.
oh, that's what happened.
They didn't win many, according to what he was talking about. But you know what? He's been there before.
Oh yeah,
and
yes, he
survived it. Mm-hmm. And I guess he'll survive the future. But I just see I'm being Romanized. You know what I'm saying? You just like I'm starting to sense sitting in that go visit those guys in the Cowboys stadium.
I don't know. Can you see Pat being Romanized? Can you envision
never.
That? I mean, going
never
from a zero to a hero with you know with Romo there.
He's got the N O R.
N O R.
Yeah. It's called the New Orleans rash. It's just something that happens. They don't know why. It's just like they're just addicted to this one football team. And the players then come and go, and they're all on different teams. But they're like, but this team, it's the Superdome, which is pretty cool, by the way. You go in Superdome, it is amazing. It just takes you over. It's just so beautiful how they designed it and sound. And it's like the field's right in your face. But the Saints are playing in it. And I think Drew Brees is pretty cool. But I'm just talking about maybe we're getting Romanized. I mean, now that Eddie's bringing it up, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Oh.
But Eddie's
brought it up.
He sure did, man. He sure did. Like, go get you another sport. Get your hockey.
Yeah, right.
It's like, give a shout out to the hockey fan.
Right.
On the East Coast out there.
And Eddie have a lot of fun there because Eddie likes hockey. And speaking about Eddie, he was talking about a barbecue. So he's ready for a barbecue competition.
Oh, he's a bring it.
He was talking about putting Texas Longhorns on his hood.
I can see that.
That's just going to be really funny. I don't think they'll fit through the Lincoln Tunnel, though. Driving through there. You imagine him coming in right there through Manhattan, the big horns on his car.
No doubt.
Can see him making it in. I don't know if I can see him making it out.
Yeah, I think that the mayor there is saying they've got a new law that says you can't have Texas Longhorns. It's a weapon or something. I don't know.
Really?
No telling. He's like the next. Moving on. So you're not being Romanized?
No. Won't happen.
No. It's just amazing.
It's thick and thin.
Well,
I'm not a fair weather fan.
Well, there's been a lot of thin going on.
You had an affair with a fan.
I'm not a fair weather fan.
Oh, fair weather fan.
Good grief.
What are you talking about? I'm like, what happened?
Come on.
You're not a fair weather fan.
Dude, I was back in the days with the bags on my head. Come on. Nothing fazes me.
It doesn't. It really doesn't faze him.
I mean, some people just want torture. I mean, hey. This is not being crucified for Christ. I just want to let you know right now. This is not considered being crucified for Christ being a Saints fan.
Well, I know when Jared and I was going to see a Saints game over there that we were pulling up to the what's that?
You paid money?
Yes, I actually did. Before I was Romanized.
Okay.
And we were going there we're just like feet away from going in there, and next thing you know, I'm driving in a truck, mind you. Mm-hmm. And our windows are down, and Jared's in the passenger side, my son. And all of a sudden, somebody's laying over Jared's lap trying to sell me some tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, wow, welcome to New Orleans.
Right.
He goes, they're real. They're real.
Oh, yeah.
And Jared is like sitting back so far back, he almost became one with the seat. I'm glad God didn't have a weapon or something. So we locked everything down, and we said, let's just get tunnel vision here. We'll go straight into this thing, you know, dodge the bullets and the shots and all the things that are going on, and we'll go watch them play. And it was a really, really good game. And it's pretty cool. It really is, because I went to
that stadium before. We went to that stadium and
went to some boring.
They got
stadiums.
Fans now. They've got. I'll give it to them. They've got some die hard fans.
Those fans would be there if there was no players on the field.
Man, if we didn't say a word. We're like,
yeah.
I said, give me a Saints shirt right now. Maybe should we get out of here.
Their fans are so wild. They look at each other and go, who that? That's where that came from, man. Anyway, getting back to True Saints.
Hey.
Is.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And joining me is Pat and John. We are talking about remembering 9/11.
Yeah, you know, we have this amazing video for you that we're going to audio of David, he was a photographer for the New York Daily News, and he was able to capture firsthand occurrences, and they had a chance to go back and interview him, and he just, the way he describes what happened that day, I mean, he just showed up to the scene, and he was the one that, I think, called back into the newspaper and said, send him down, something's happening. Because, you know, this had never been on anyone's grid before that.
He's on the front lines, right there when this happened, with his camera.
And we'll have this available for you on the torch, where you'll be able to see these images. But he's describing each image and what he saw and what was happening. And it's horrific, but he gives us a real response. And I just like the way he shares it, because it's authentic.
Probably the first staff photographer of any New York paper on the scene. I had been in the right place at the right time. I was on West Street at about 23rd Street when the first plane hit. I called the Daily News picture desk. Picture assignment editor said, go, go, go. Started heading southbound when I started following a fire truck. From my car, I could see them pulling tools and putting on their air packs and getting ready to go to work to put out the fire. All 11 firefighters on Rescue 1 died that morning. Out on the street, it was bad. We were ducking for cover as large chunks of building and airplane came flying down. And then people started dropping from the buildings. And for us on the ground, the realization of how bad it was came when people started jumping to their deaths as a better option than being burned alive 70, 80, 90 floors above West Street. This photo is a one of the last images of Fire Department Assistant Chief Jerry Barbera. Barbera's in his turnout coat, his white helmet. He's looking up at the two towers, and it's a very, very powerful picture. They're both on fire. He's standing there dwarfed by both the intensity of the moment and the size of the building. Chief Barbera lost his life that morning, but there's no doubt in my mind that his work and his actions and the actions of so many other firefighters and paramedics and police officers saved the lives of so many people that day. And for a lot of people, you know, trying to put together the reason for senseless deaths, what they saw in the eyes of their loved ones through the Daily News photographs were very determined professional men and women who knew what they were doing, who were going in there to save lives, and ultimately did save many people. And it was a real relief, I think, to see the photographs of their loved ones doing doing what they loved to do, and that was save people. The last two photographs are of me, taken by Daily News staff photographer Todd Maisel. I was buried under debris. My leg was shattered. I couldn't move on my own. And Lieutenant Tom McGough and firefighters from Engine 217 in Brooklyn pulled me out of the debris, but they left me there. They said that, you know, I'm hurt, but I'm alive. There were many more people that needed assistance, and they were going forward to help other people. But Jim Kelleher and Charlie Wells were among several other rescuers who picked me up, carried me back to Battery Park City, put me on the floor of a delicatessen, and that's this photo here. It was about 9 months till I came back to work at the New York Daily News. I had been on the beat of chasing spot news, covering fires and police incidents and paramedics hard at work. I came back as a feature photographer, photographing food and chefs and restaurants and other feature stuff. But I'm really proud to still be a photographer at the Daily News. I'm still taking pictures every day. You know, I think each and every one of us who was there that morning has their own little personal collection of really, really ugly memories. But collectively, I think we're very glad to be alive. Love taking pictures and bringing them to our readers, and are linked with one motto, I think, and that's never forget.
Wow.
Wow, that's David sharing his first-hand account. 2,996 people died in the tower attack, and more than 6,000 people were injured. And as I saw some of those pictures, and one of the ladies walking barefooted as she was running out of the area, I think about Nancy in New York, as she was sharing with us, you know, she was working in Manhattan, and how there was nothing running, no subways, nothing. I mean, for MTA to stop still, it's amazing in New York. Everything runs on public transportation. And how she kept walking blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. I mean, broke heels. I mean, it was amazing. She finally got a chance to get home close to 8, 9 o'clock at night, I believe.
Wow.
To the Bronx. And amazing just what happened in New York City. And one day he shut down an entire city. And a country was brought down low. And it's just time to reflect and realize that, listen, it wasn't too far back ago.
Right.
And it just took a couple
just
people.
Just two.
That. It
19.
Just takes one person
yeah.
to do something crazy like that. And shouldn't look to being controlled as we're turning to. We should actually turn our heads up and look to God.
That's it.
And
that's
he right. will be, he who is in control of all things will keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
But if we keep on giving up our freedoms that allowed us to worship God freely and to trust in him, we're turning to ourselves. So I want to encourage you, you know, as we wrap up remembering 9/11, let's do like Jehoshaphat. Let's look up.
Yeah.
Let's don't look to government. Let's don't look to ways to monitor everybody and facial recognition and patting children down the airports. And, you know, if we're as Christians, we should not be so terrified of death. We should be realizing and preparing for the day that we stand before the throne of God that we did what was right in our life. And Israel's really good at remembering when. Mm. Really good. And we can learn a lot from Israel because they're saying, not no more.
That's right.
We're not going to do it again. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.